Oh, yeah. Here we go, bros. For another installment of the Bart and Baldy Show. Back doing it live. It's a Thursday, our new real day. Joseph, we just took the hiatus of hiatuses. Our fans are wondering what's going on. And here we are for them, son.
I'm back, baby. I'm back from Mexico. I'm alive. I don't care what people say. Cabo San Lucas was amazing. I'm rested. I'm ready to rip it up, baby. And let's do it.
You sound like you're just absolutely bringing the noise today, son. You sound like a one-man band. It's a good day today. It's a good day for us to do a show. There's a lot in the news. I walked out to the USC practice field just to keep an eye on things. And Tim Tessalone rolls up to me and he just gets loose.
Sound off like you got a pair.
Sir, yes, sir!
He was like, where's your work? Put more on Neon Tommy. Do more. Well, here it is. Here it is. We're rocking the podcast. There's a bunch to talk. You know we're going to do that NFL because that's what Joe and I do. But Joseph wants to talk some NBA schmackle-dackle. He wants to talk a little Tiger. So that's what we're going to do. Let's get to the NBA because I don't think a damn thing about them talking about Europe. I think it's all bluff, smoke and mirrors. I don't think European teams have the dough to pay these guys. You disagree with me in a big way, huh, player?
I'm telling you, man, world peace is coming to Europe. It's happening. No more fights along.
No more riots. No more looting.
No more riots. No more car bombs. It's world peace coming in. Yeah, man. These guys like money, you know. When you have a lifestyle that you're accustomed to living, and all of a sudden it looks like you're not going to get paid this year, and you're a professional athlete, and realistically playing in the Europe League is kind of like playing, I don't know, down at the beach with your buddies. I mean, it's probably going to be that difficult for these guys. Why not? I mean, I understand they're not going to make tons of dough, but it sounds like they're going to start offering these guys other deals with endorsements and everything else in Europe. I mean, I can't see that jersey sales and whatnot aren't going to go through the roof. I'm not saying that it's going to happen. We both feel that the NBA is looking pretty bleak next year. And if it doesn't happen, you know, I would hope to God that Kobe, if you're listening, you're probably not. But if you are, please don't go over there and play. Take some time off, bro. Rest. Take some time off. Hang out with your kids. You live in Newport. Enjoy the view. There could be those B-plus players going, but you're probably right. I doubt LeBron or Kobe or any of these top dogs are going to go. Dwayne Wade's talking he might go. Durant's talking he might go. But in reality, it's going to be guys like Ron Artest. It's going to be guys like Boozer that actually probably do go because they'd be superstars over there.
No superstars are going. Nobody like Kobe, who's right at the precipice of starting to see his decline, is going. Nobody who doesn't have two divorces under their belt is going, okay? If you got a couple divorces, if you got six kids by five different women, okay, you're ripe to take off to Europe and go make that money. Kobe, D-Wade, LeBron, it's an absolute sham. Those guys aren't going anywhere. I don't know if you remember, but I want to say it was LeBron. Don't hold me to this out there, anybody. I think LeBron was like, I have no interest in going out there. And some of the PA guys got to him and they're like, what are you doing, dude? We're negotiating a deal. We need to have that threat out there. And a couple days later, he's like, I would entertain any offers that came my way to go overseas. It's an absolute Travis Shamockery. None of the big dogs are going. I was blown away by D. Williams, Joseph. And that's the only reason, really, that I give your argument any credence, is that D. Will is going. You're on the right track with Meta World Peace and a couple other guys like that whose games are in decline, their salaries are in decline, and they're really feeling the pinch. You got anything else to say on this?
I'm bombed. I think it's hilarious that the Lakers organization wants my season ticket money, you know, and there's not even going to be a damn season, but whatever. Whatever, Jerry Buss. If you want my money, I'll pay you. Just stop bugging me with the phone calls already.
Isn't Jerry Buss, isn't he offering you some sort of like, you'll get your money back with interest or something? That's more than other teams are doing, isn't it, Joseph? Or am I wrong on that?
Oh, man. Well, yeah, with interest, what, 1%? Ooh. I might be able to afford parking at the first game I go to.
Let's talk Tiger Hoods. +7. +7 today. Yeah, the ladies' man. I want this guy to go back to dating porn stars, personally. I want my old Tiger back.
I like the fact that he shoots the same thing I shoot. +7. That's nice.
Yeah? Well, that's not what makes fans tune into golf, I'll tell you that.
Oh,
I think, hey, you bring up an interesting point. I think fans get a little bit of a sick pleasure out of watching a pro stink it up out there, but not Tiger. People tune in to watch Tiger dominate. They're talking about it on AM. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whenever you would watch PTI or any of these other shows, the question was in a major, who you got, Tiger or the field? And you were almost a knob salad if you didn't take Tiger. If you were like, I'll take the field, more often than not, you were proven wrong. Or at least, you know, if you didn't take first, he was always in the top 10. He was always lurking. Joseph, the question is out there now, and I'm going to ask it to you. Is Tiger Woods going to ever win another major, let alone catch Jack Nicklaus?
Tiger made me watch golf. You know what I mean?
Answer the question, son.
I know. I'm going to say yes. I do believe he's going to bounce back. Do I think he's going to catch Nicklaus? I'm not really sure. I do think he will win at least another major or two. He doesn't look right, man. Like, I've been watching him lately. I don't know what it is. They're saying he's trying a new swing. He obviously lost his caddy, which we're going to talk about in a second. But to me, he just doesn't look right. And realistically, he just looks old. He looks like he's getting older. I mean, I think he's going to dominate on the senior tour when he gets there, but he just doesn't look right, man. And I think, you know, realistically, what has he got left in him, bro? Maybe 5-6 years before. This is how much I know about golf. I don't even know when you're forced to go into the senior tour, if it's an age thing or you just get to choose to go there.
It's an age thing, baller. 50 years old. 50 years old, and they let him go start making money again. A lot of those guys in their 40s, they completely fall off. They're not making any big money checks. Sometimes their sponsors bail on them in their 40s. They get to go up to that Champions League and start cashing real checks again. But, Joseph, I got another question for you, because this is what I told Tim Tessalone. People don't tune into Neon Tommy to check out daily updates for USC. They can get that from Orange County Register, etc. We talk what the mainstream cannot talk. Here's the question. Is Tiger feeling the effects of doing steroids, Joseph? I knew you would back off. Come on, man. Give it to him.
Dude, I don't know what's wrong with Tiger. He's feeling the effects of something, man. And you know what? It could be that. It could be the fact that he roided up and now his body's taking a toll on him, and just kind of like it would with a baseball player that we see with them. You know, they have these incredible years and then they fall off. Say that Tiger's never going to win again. I hope he does. I think, as sad as this is to say, he kind of got ran through the mill here. I mean, he was the butt of jokes for a year, bro. And again, I understand what he did. I'm not condoning it. I'm not saying you should cheat on your lady. But, you know, in reality, he didn't kill anybody, at least that we know of. He didn't do anything majorly wrong other than he was not faithful. And he really became the punchline of a lot of jokes, man. And now, you know, I think he's feeling more that. When Tiger was unstoppable, he was unstoppable. And what I mean by that was that he had that mental edge to him. He had that, like, oh, my God, I don't know if I can handle this guy. Kind of like me with fantasy football. You know, I'm unstoppable. I strike fear into the heart of the player. That's kind of how Tiger was that when he had his run there. And now I think he just lost his edge, man. I think he really did. And I think when everyone thought he was unstoppable, that made him unstoppable. And now that everybody thinks he's beatable, it's making him beatable. So I do think Tiger needs to get his head straight. I think he needs to get healthy. I think this is actually probably the best thing for him, that he's going to probably miss the end of the year FedEx thing that they have going on. He's going to have a lot of time to rest between now and the start of the next season. I hope that he does get his mind right, because if not, I don't know if he's ever going to be able to get over that next hump of winning that next title.
I'll tackle the steroids thing head on, something Joe Scott won't do. The kid's 6'1", 185 pounds. I've seen guys that are on roids. Don't ask me where. He's not one of them. He's super athletic. He might be carrying a little bit too much bulk. It might behoove him to drop, 5-10 pounds of that bulk and loosen up a little bit. He isn't right now. And I think it does have to do with the incident, the Thanksgiving incident. Let's assume the worst. None of us know what happened. None of us will ever know what happened that night, because the wifey signed, a non-disclosure agreement. Tiger's never going to tell us. Let's assume she did knock his ass out with a golf club. That's pretty embarrassing. Tiger went through an embarrassing episode where he allegedly got knocked out by his wife with a golf club. He was laying in the middle of the street snoring. A bit of an embarrassment for an alpha dog like Tiger Woods. And he hasn't responded well to that. he should have bagged it for this entire year. Coming back right now, for what? There was only the PGA Championship, which he absolutely boffed this first round today by shooting a 77. And what else is there? What else is there for this guy to prove this year? He should have bagged it for 011, come back strong in 2012. And the caddy thing. Let's get to it, Joe, because this is when I realized that the wheels were falling off. I have no problem with this guy dating adult film stars. I don't even necessarily have a problem with this guy cheating on his wife, because that's between them. That has nothing to do with me being a fan or not being a fan of the guy. Honestly, do I like it? No. Do I approve of it? No. Does it matter to me? No. So I don't get on him for that. But man, the caddy thing is when I said the wheels are falling off. His caddy, Stevie Williams, was a buddy. I mean, this guy was a part of Tiger's wedding. And then to cut him off with a phone call and then to try to cover it up and say, oh, I talked to him in person. Tiger fired him via phone, allegedly. And then when he realized how that would look in the media, then he rolled over and went by the house and said, hey, you're fired. I'm at a loss, Joe. I cannot believe that he fired this guy. And this is what makes me think that he possibly might not win any more majors.
Stevie Williams, realistically, man, he really made himself look like a big a-hole, and he shouldn't have. He could have came out of this thing smelling like roses. He had all the fans cheering his name, chanting his name.
I don't think Stevie Williams cares about that, though. He lost a buddy of his, man, and he's pissed.
What was everybody talking about on Monday, Tuesday, bro? It wasn't talking about how Stevie Williams got shafted and how this is a great thing for him. They were talking about what a douche this guy was. Douche of the year. I mean, plain and simple, this guy stuck his foot down his throat. And now, you know, he's talking about how it's I did this, and this is the best win of my career. I mean, come on, bro. You're a freaking caddy. You know what I mean? You carry bags. You tell a guy what the wind is, and you help hang out with him on the course while he's playing golf. He came out looking like a total douche, man. And if you don't believe me, you should have watched what was going on the first 3 days, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of this week. Everybody was crucifying this guy. And you, like you said, everybody should have been happy for this guy. You just got canned by Tiger in a really crappy way. And instead of people celebrating you, they're really denouncing him. And I don't know, man. I think he should just be quiet, go off into the sunset, win some more titles with Adam Scott, my other brother, you know. And that's it, man. I think he should just be quiet, because he really is a caddy. And I mean, that's like, you know, the crew chief in a NASCAR race, the guy who puts on the tire saying they had a good race. I mean, in reality, yes, you helped, but you didn't drive the car. You weren't the one that did it. You weren't the guy making the calls in the top of the crew chief. So just be quiet.
Yeah, that's a, you know what? It's a respectable viewpoint. It's also the viewpoint of people who don't know what they're talking about. Let's just put it this way. If it was a good idea to go out there without a caddy, players would do it. Players would do it. If it was a good idea to throw your bag on one of those roller carts and just be out there alone, we would see players do it. We don't see that. It's not a good idea. Two heads are always better than one. Caddies do make a big difference. And it's funny because I told a buddy of ours that Tiger Woods wouldn't be able to get a respectable caddy for a while. And he was like, no, he's Tiger Woods, blah, blah, blah. Look at what happened. Tiger had to go out there with a buddy of his for two straight weeks. He doesn't have caddies lining up to ditch their guy and go with him. The kid's a mess. I hope he gets it together. I'm with Joe. I do believe he'll win a major. I don't think it's anytime soon. I think he needs to bag it this year, come back strong in 2012, start building your game up, and maybe at the end of 2012 or sometime in 2013, he can get back to his winning ways. Bottom line with Stevie Williams and Tiger Woods acting a fool is it gave us a reason to talk golf, Joe. But let's talk the real, buddy. Let's talk NFL.
Before we go, man, we got to talk about the breaking news, man.
Oh, look at you. All right, drop your soccer news on these people.
Manchester United signing a 7-year-old. How funny is this that they're signing a 7-year-old? And you and I said, what are they signing for? A bag of comic books, maybe an 86 Fiat? What do people in Argentina want nowadays?
I have no idea what you would have to give the parents of a 7-year-old. What do you give them? I mean, is this kid just going to carry their bags? What is this? Like, this is just
know.
A promissory
I mean, like I said,
note?
I don't even know if he knows cursive to sign his name on the contract. You know what I mean? Like, what are you doing with a 7-year-old? And the best thing is you look at him, and he looks like a little soccer stud. Like, maybe they know something. Like, they showed a picture of this kid. I'm like, oh, yeah, He totally looks like he can like head the ball into the goal. I don't know, man. Why are we even talking about soccer? Let's get,
because you're a crazy bastard who can't get enough Man U news. That's crazy.
When you get some grass on the field, we can play some ball. Oh, that was terrible.
I should cut that out, and I probably won't. You're a disgusting bastard. NFL, grown men, adults. Let's talk, before we get to the teams, because we basically, you and I want to focus on teams. There's not a whole lot of news, and by not a whole lot of news, I mean there's a ton of news. Guys getting signed, guys getting stolen away from their teams. The Steve Smith thing, which we're not going to talk about. There's two guys out there that you and I really want to talk. It's CJ and it's Carson. Let's talk CJ first. CJ's a bad, bad boy, probably, you know, top five players in the league when you talk about just impact studs. He wants a new deal. The Titans are saying they want to give him a new deal. They're just like, first report to camp and then we'll give you a new deal. Is CJ going to get what he wants from the Titans, Joseph?
They'd be stupid not to, bro, because without CJ, they're looking at the top pick next year in the draft.
One of the worst teams in football without CJ.
Even with CJ, they're still looking at the top pick next year. But, without him, he's really the only thing that's going to put people in the stands. Obviously, I'm a huge fan. You're a huge fan. The guy's a mega stud. And you know, with him being in his, this I believe is his last year of his rookie deal, if I'm not mistaken, he's got to get paid, man. And like I told you, I don't know exactly what happened with the NFL and this new, the new collective bargaining agreement, all this stuff. But to me, if a rookie comes out and he exceeds it and he doesn't get paid in the beginning, he's not a top 10 pick or whatever it is where he's making these millions off the top, they've got to be a way of ratifying it, because guys like CJ, guys like DeSean Jackson, without them on that team, the team wouldn't be doing anything. So these are guys that are irreplaceable. Their value, you can't even put a dollar amount to it, and these guys aren't making any money. And when it comes to running backs, what's their lifespan? 5 years? I mean, they don't have a big lifespan in the league. I think 30 is when basically they write running backs off and tell them it's time to retire. So if this guy gets hit and, gets injured, he put in all these big years and broke all these records for what?
You're right about the lifespan. You're right about the 30-year-old wall. I mean, that's when you're written off at 30 and you outperform a contract the way this kid has, there has to be something in place where you just rip up that contract. And we're going to start to see where the negotiating of the players fell short. And this is one of them. I cannot believe they didn't have something written into the new agreement that says when a guy like CJ puts up 2,000 rushing yards, that contract's got to get ripped up and you got to sign that kid. I mean, I understand that some of these first rounders, you don't know what you're going to get. Boomer Bust, Cam Newton comes to mind, other players like that, where you're just like, man, this kid might never turn into anything. When a guy puts up 2,000 rushing yards and then comes back and puts up, 1,400 rushing yards, it's time to rip up that contract. This is absolutely asinine. I can't believe the Titans have let it get to this point, Joseph. You brought up an interesting point. Without CJ, you're looking at one of the worst teams in the NFL, Joseph.
Well, today the GM came out. I think it's Reinfeld is his last name. He came out and said that he basically told the agent of Chris Johnson that he wants to make him the highest paid running back in the league. But it hasn't happened yet. So
yeah, just get it done.
To say something and to get it done is another thing. They got to get this done. They got to take care of this guy, because, like I said, without him, who's going to go see this team play? I mean, no offense to Matt Hasselbeck, but it's not like he's going to be selling a lot of tickets this year. So he's more of a game manager, and I think they actually can have a pretty decent year, with him behind, behind center, just because last year, I mean, realistically, that team was one of the worst teams quarterbacked in the league, and they still, CJ was still able to put up numbers. You give him a quarterback that's not going to turn the ball over, that can just manage a game, and I think they can make some noise. But without CJ, man, ugh, that team's ugly.
Tennessee, I'm at a loss for words at what they think they're doing. They have a new coach, and you don't have CJ wrapped up and happy and in camp. Unforgivable. Unforgivable for them to come in. And I like you talking about being one of the worst teams and maybe having the top pick. Maybe they want that. I pointed the finger to a friend of ours who shall remain nameless, Bite. And I said, I think the San Francisco 49ers are tanking. They want that number one pick. Could Tennessee just be shanking this year away for Andrew Luck, Joseph?
don't know, dude.
I can't explain it any other way, man.
I wanted to talk about that too, man. I actually think the 49ers are going to shank away the year just to get luck. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of teams at the end of the season who are going to be just hanging it up, because obviously Andrew Luck, it looks like he's going to be the next big thing coming out, man. But, I don't know, man. I don't think that they're doing that. I think this is all just politics, and they got caught up in it. And you're right. They should have paid CJ after his first year, man. The guy comes out like gangbusters, and he really lights up the league. And you know, he put a huge spotlight on the Tennessee Titans, and I think they definitely need to pay this kid.
Yeah, Tennessee, I mean, I don't know who you guys think you are. You're not an L.A. team. I'm aware there's no L.A. team in the NFL. You're not New York. Yes. You're not Florida. You're none of those teams that has just an instant draw. You're Tennessee. You need to take care of players like this, or else other players in the league are going to be like, wow, if they don't pay CJ, what makes me think they would kick down a big fat contract to me? I mean, that's what I would be thinking. Listen to CJ's numbers, people. 1,200 yards, 2,000 yards, 1,364 in his 3 years in the league. Pay this man his money and get this thing over with. This is absolutely insane. This might be the last reason we have to talk Tennessee for the rest of the year, Joseph. They need to get this deal done. Let's talk Carson. Another guy not playing for a completely different reason. This brain-dead a-hole walked away from a lot of money. You basically called the Cincinnati owner a brain-dead a-hole a couple weeks ago. What's going to happen with this, Joe? Is Carson Palmer retired from the NFL?
All signs are pointing to yes, dude. And that's the weird thing is that, again, I mean, I'm shocked that, I mean, Cincinnati, last time I checked, I'm having difficulty naming who's even going to be playing on that team next year. I mean, they've lost Ocho Cinco. They've lost Terrell Owens. You know, realistically, who's going to be buying tickets for them? They're in a really, really tough division. They're going to probably finish again behind Cleveland. I don't really know if this is something that's going to be fixable. I'm really shocked that the owner hasn't come out and said, you know what, screw you, Carson. You're going to be someone else's dead weight. I don't want you on my team anymore. Go get something for this guy, because as of right now, you're getting nothing for him.
My understanding of being retired from all the Brett Favre debacles is that paperwork has to be filed. And I haven't heard any word that Carson's actually going to file, but he's definitely not going to get paid. That much I can tell you. The owner is not going to play chicken and then cut checks to this guy. That's what's not going to happen. So I imagine he's racking up fines for not showing up until he files the paperwork. And you talk about name recognition. What is Cincinnati's fan base thinking? They must feel like they just got kicked in the gut by this owner and by Carson. It looks like it's Sed Benson and not a whole lot else. I mean, they've got some dynamic guys over there. You and I have talked off air about Bernard Scott possibly being a kid who could blow up in this league. But I mean, damn, you talk about name brand recognition. They don't have it. Andy Dalton, that QB that they got, he's a kid that went to TCU. It's not exactly a hotbed of college talent. They got A.J. Green at the wide receiver position, but man, if you got a quarterback who doesn't know anything about anything throwing him the ball, you just wasted a number one pick on a wide receiver who can't do a damn thing for you, Joseph.
Well, I mean, are they just going to run with the other Palmer over there?
No, that's what they're not going to do. I mean, that kid has proven that he stinks, and he's only around because of Carson. I imagine, Joseph, that they're just going to give the ball to Andy Dalton and say, go. You and A.J. Green, just go. We're going to see how that works out, but I don't know. Do you think there's any way that this team wins more than, let's say, four games, Joseph?
No. I really don't.
Bottom line, no.
Even if Carson comes back, I'm curious. I mean, you know, he's basically bailing on his team. I can't imagine him coming back and that being a proper situation in the locker room. I mean, I don't know, man. Again, I think Cleveland's going to finish better than them again. They're in a really tough division. I'd be shocked if they win more than three or four games, period. And you know, I actually kind of forgot about A.J. Green. That really is kind of like their only bright spot on this team, and it's sad he's going to be swallowed up by defenses because, you know who's going to watch out for, you know, anything else. And I don't know, man. It's a tough situation there. They can't bring Carson back. They're not going to trade him. And he's saying he's retired. So what's your option? I mean, other than, you know, taking this guy out back and putting a bullet in him, I mean, what other option do you have?
Joe, and here's the part that nobody's talking about. Let's just flip a switch in our minds and picture this team with Carson, with A.J. Green, with Sed Benson. Let's pretend that everything's harmonious over there. Look at their schedule, Joseph. It's a disgrace. Cleveland, Denver, San Fran, Buffalo to start the season, and Jacksonville. This team could have started off 5-0. This team legitimately, and I don't think I'm overselling it because that defense was amazing 2 years ago. Carson Palmer has shown flashes of being an elite quarterback. Cleveland, Denver, San Fran, Buffalo, Jacksonville, Joseph. That's 5-0 to me. And instead, they're looking at what, 1-4, 2-3 at best? I mean, there's no way with a rookie quarterback that they're going to roll into Cleveland in week one and win that game. There's a hot tip for you guys. I think Cleveland is going to stomp Cincy in week one. Stomp them. I mean, I cannot believe Carson, when you're playing a game of chicken against a crazy bastard who's not afraid to die, you better bail. And Carson, it looks like this game of chicken just came down to two crazy bastards that weren't afraid to die. It looks like Carson Palmer's retired, Joseph, and I am shocked.
I've been, you know, following his career, and it sucks, man. He's a great player, and he, you know, he never really got to get off the schneid, you know, so to say. And unfortunately, he may be playing as many games as I do this year, and you know, maybe we'll have better luck in fantasy. I don't know, dude, but he's at this point, it's not looking too good for him, bro.
Yeah, and I got to take this opportunity to holler at our boy Mike Deal, who him and I had like a half-hour conversation about how every player in the NFL really wants that ring and they play for that ring. Really? Is Carson Palmer, is that what he's doing? Is he showing the love for the ring? He's walking away with $200 million in his pocket, and he's like, all right, if I can't go to a team I like and a market I like, I'm out of here. Thanks. So they don't all play for the love of the game. They don't all play for the ring, and that's the bottom line. Let's get to some teams, Joseph, who absolutely stink-bombed last year, but hey, might be playing for the ring this year. Give the fans your three upside teams for 2011, son.
I'm going to go ahead and start with the team that's playing tonight, man. I'm really thinking San Diego is going to make some noise. Now that Vincent Jackson's back, I mean, hopefully he's healthy. I really do think that they're going to win their division. I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think this could be a year that they actually do something. Last year they had the number one offense and the number one defense, and they didn't make the playoffs. Yet a team that was 7-9 did. I mean, that's the NFL for you. So I definitely think San Diego is going to be on the rise. Another team I think is going to be on the rise is the Arizona Cardinals. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. That team was a quarterback away from being a playoff team, and they got him. I think Kevin Cobb is the real deal. I think their defense and the rest of that offense is good. They've got plenty of running backs and offensive weapons for Cobb to use. I think, you know, when you have Larry Fitzgerald, who might be one of the best receivers in the league, if not the best receiver, I think that they're definitely going to bounce back. And, again, their division's pretty much terrible. And then besides that, you know, I got to give it to him, man. Dallas Cowboys, I think they're going to have a bounce back year. Obviously, you know, Romo can't get injured again, because if not, that's going to really throw him for a loop. But I do feel that they're going to have a big year. You know, I do think that this could be a year that their defense does step up and does some things they need. If not, I mean, realistically, they're going to get buried in their own division. Obviously, the Eagles and Giants are always going to be there fighting for the top. Washington is a mystery team. I'm not really too worried about them. You know, Rex Grossman. Whatever. So, I mean, I do think Dallas is going to have a bounce-back year, and those are my three that I think are going to bounce.
That's surprising. Joe Scott pushing Dallas. That's hot.
Yeah.
Let's talk about my three teams, you interrupting bastard. My three upswing teams, man. Minnesota, Houston, and Denver. And I say Minnesota with a bit of a heavy heart because I think Donovan is a stink bomb. I think he's a Travis Shan mockery. I think he's been done for a couple years. But Joe Scott talked about it a couple weeks ago. This team is just set to pop. They got veterans galore. That defense is just, oh, my God. It's a band of killers as far as I'm concerned. Those are the guys you see in your nightmares. You can't get away from that defense. And I think Donovan's going to hand it off to the big dog all day, Adrian Peterson, at least 300 times this year. Mark it down.
He has to.
Everybody who's going to be at the top of their fantasy draft, take AP, because he's getting the ball 300 times. He's gone up in catches every single year that he's been in the league. He works on that part of his game. He's improved that part of his game. He's going to rip it up. Houston, they're interesting, man. I've been saying Houston for a couple years now, and they've proven me wrong, and I'm just going to keep saying it. This team is so damn talented that I got to believe that they got to put it together. Peyton Manning, two neck surgeries, not in camp yet. I got to believe that this is the year that Houston goes from 6-10 to 10-6. My last team, Denver, that's just out of necessity. I don't think Denver can go 4-12 again. That division is just too damn stink bomb. The West is such a joke. You got a team like San Diego with all the pieces in place. And then you got the GM, A.J. Smith, over there playing God, screwing with Vincent Jackson, not giving him the contract he wants, letting players come and go, and they should just be building a Super Bowl winner. And the Raiders, 8-8 last year. I was happy with my team's performance, and what do? They can Tom Cable for the offensive coordinator. We'll see. We'll see, but I could have had the Raiders in this spot, but just for the simple fact that they were 8-8 and could easily drop to 6-10, I can't say that they're going to be a team on the upswing. Kyle Orton blew up last year, at least for 12 games. He can put it together. I like what they've done with the running back stable. I love me some Von Miller. So I got Denver on the uptick in 2011. Let's hit them with the sliders, Joey. There's going to be some teams that just have to drop. Name three of them, son.
I think the Raiders are one of them. And the reason I say that is I'm really shocked that they fired their coach. And they're talking about the Raiders possibly coming back to L.A. Please, God, no. Don't do that to me. Give us a team like Minnesota or the Buffalo Bills or something that we can rename and restart with something. Because, dude, you know damn good and well if the Raiders come here, they're going to be the stupid Raiders. I'm not going to want to root for them. They're still going to have all these moronic fans that fight and do all these crazy things when it's not about that. It's about the game. And realistically, Al Davis is where it starts, man. He's the problem. He's been the problem for that team for probably about 15, 20 years now. And you're right. I think Denver is going to have a better year. I think San Diego is going to have a much better year. And with that being said, I think that the Raiders are going to have a down year. Another team in the same division that I think is going to have a down year is Kansas City. And the reason I say that is, dude, they looked so terrible in the playoffs last year. I mean, unless the coaching staff realizes that they've got Jamal Charles on their team, I don't know what's happening with these guys, but I don't know if Kansas City's going to be at the same level. That kind of was like a twofer for me. I didn't really know which of those teams I was going to say was going to be having a down year, but I think either one of them can really kind of take a step back. The other team that I really think is going to take a step back is Chicago. I think they outperformed themselves last year. I think they're in a tough division. I do think that, obviously, you know, Minnesota's going to get better. So I don't think Chicago is going to win that division. I do think they're going to, you know, take a step back. I don't know if they won't make the playoffs per se, but I definitely think they're going to fall. And my last team that I wanted, you know, like I said, KC and Oakland being my twofer. Another team I think is going to have a down year is Seattle, man. I'm just not a big believer of Tavares Jackson. I'm not a big believer of, you know, the team that they have built around him. I do think Sidney Rice will help as long as he can stay healthy. I'm a fan of Pete Carroll, but do I think they're going to make the playoffs? Probably not. I think Arizona or you know, possibly even San Francisco could beat them out this year. But I do think Seattle is going to have a down year this year.
You just named a whole bunch of teams, and I can't really argue with any of them. Does anyone honestly, truly believe in Jay Cutler? If you do, please leave a comment on our podcast so we can rack up some comments. But honestly, I don't think anybody truly believes in Jay Cutler. Does he put up fantasy numbers? Yes. Did he take Chicago to the playoffs last year? Yes. Did he absolutely abandon them with all the chips on the table? Yes, he did. The kid's an absolute disgrace. I cannot see Chicago doing it again. And I'm sorry to Brian Urlacher, Lance Briggs, and all the other boys. You guys are absolute badasses. I love that defense. I just hate me some Jay Cutler. They had a blessed year last year. The wheels are going to fall off. They're going to wish they signed Donovan McNabb, which is funny coming out of my mouth. So Chicago's going to absolutely blow nizzles. And so are the Giants, Joseph. And I know this is music to your ears. 10-6 over there. And now look, the reason we didn't talk the Steve Smith thing is because really neither of us care about the Giants. But also because it's not surprising. It's not surprising. Everybody in New York Giant land was surprised. Like, hey, we thought Steve Smith was going to let us counter any offer he got. What happened to just going out and signing a guy you want, who, by the way, had 100 catches 2 years ago? I know he was coming off the knee surgery. That's why the Giants were playing it cool, not throwing any money at him. They just figured, we'll counter any real offer he gets. That doesn't flatter a player when all you're going to do is counter whatever offer he gets. And by the way, we're not even going to get into the OCU Manura thing, but the Giants have no idea how to handle their personnel the right way. Tom Coughlin was on his way out before the Super Bowl win. This team is going to be a mess. My prediction is Coughlin gets fired at the end of the year. They go 6-10. And I didn't say Dallas is my upside team because, I don't know, man. For me, the jury is still out on a guy like Tony Romo. I know Joe doesn't feel that way, but I feel the door's wide open for Dallas. I will say that. The Giants are going to stink. The Skins are going to stink. And Philly's going to be Philly. So the door is wide open there for Dallas. And the last team that I got sliding a little bit, Joe, this is a big surprise, Indianapolis. I don't like what I'm seeing. Peyton Manning having two surgeries. Nobody plans on having two surgeries. Usually it means the first one didn't go well. Peyton Manning, two neck surgeries, still not in camp. Reginald Von der Wayne, I had him in fantasy last year. I'm not sure if his fantasy numbers will be affected by this, but I know that their chemistry will be affected by this. It didn't look like their usual chemistry last year, and not having Peyton in camp isn't going to help, Brozef.
Well, you know what's funny? I had them on my fallers, too, and I crossed them out for Chicago. Yeah, you're right, man. Neck surgery and football just don't seem to go hand in hand. Peyton's getting a little bit older, man. This could be the last year for Indy. I mean, they're getting older, and they're not really putting young talent around Peyton per se, and they're obviously putting all their eggs in Peyton's basket. They just signed him to a huge new deal, so this could be, if they don't make noise this year, I mean, like you said, you got teams like Jacksonville getting younger. You got teams like Houston who are going to probably start making some noise. This could be the end of it, man. And I'm a big Peyton Manning fan. I have been forever. And, I do think they could have a down year this year. Really curious to kind of see how the whole league's going to do. This is kind of what I wanted to kind of end it with you, and I wanted to talk about this before we go, is this to me is a really a big question mark season, man. I mean, a lot of these guys, haven't had a chance to play together, hang out together, learn the playbooks. There's guys moving to new teams. There are new schemes. There's new coaches. There's rookies coming in who are going to be relied upon to win games. And realistically, dude, I'm really, really curious to see what's going to happen this season, because to me, I almost think that the teams that have been together more, meaning guys that, like let's say, for instance, like the San Diego Chargers, they haven't really had a lot of turnover. I mean, yes, they lost Sproles, but they their team's intact. Their offense is intact. That's the kind of guys that I really do feel that are going to have a better season this year than teams where, you have a Donovan McNabb going to a new team. You have these guys, changing, coaches and changing schemes and all these things. I'm really curious to see what's going to happen with injuries, with everything. This is a season like no other, that's for sure.
I'll tell you what I think is going to happen. I'll just predict right off the bat, lots of injuries early on to position players. And I think quarterbacks like Donovan, I know everybody knows I'm not a fan, but I really honestly feel like quarterbacks like Donovan are at risk. They don't know the habits of their line. They don't know the weaknesses of their line. Their line doesn't know their strengths and weaknesses. If a guy like Donovan, for example, doesn't like rolling left, or a guy like Vic doesn't like rolling right, and Vic's a bad example because that team, they know him pretty well. But if they don't know those things, man, we could see some nasty, gruesome knee injuries. I like the teams that have been together as well. And Joe, I really like the teams that train in cities that players like. You know what I mean? It's not hard to get some guys together in San Diego, LA, Miami, down at the IMG field. It's not hard to get those guys together for a practice. When you're talking about towns like Kansas City, when you're talking about teams like Washington with the sweltering heat, Buffalo, I mean, who wants to get together and scrimmage and practice in Buffalo? So I completely agree with you. The teams that have been together longer, the teams that have more veterans, I think that's going to be huge this year. Usually when you're overstocked with veterans, they break down, et cetera, and so forth. I think this year, veterans are going to pay massive dividends. I believe they took care of themselves better during this lockout, knowing that the business side will solve itself. And I think that they're coming in better prepared. They just know what their job is, Joseph. I mean, a team like Cincinnati, how are they going to get their whole team together to practice together? I don't want to hang out in Cincinnati during the summer. Do you? I don't want to go up there just to, you know, practice with a kid like Andy Dalton. No offense to you, Mr. Dalton. I'm sure you're a badass, but that doesn't excite me. You know what I mean? If I'm a guy like Sed Benson, I'm sitting on my couch waiting for Cincinnati to sign me to that deal, and that's it. But in terms of putting in extra time, you know, like we saw New England, New York Jets, they were able to get almost complete team practices together. I don't think a lot of those teams that have rookie quarterbacks leading them, Joseph, were able to do that.
Yeah, and it's not just rookies. It's like you said, like guys like Hasselbeck and guys that are in new cities. I mean, it's gonna be a crazy season, man. I mean, already, just, you know, I've been watching this preseason game here. They already took one of the offensive linemen for Seattle into the locker room. I mean, this is gonna be weird, man. This is gonna be a weird year. I think there's gonna be a lot of guys getting dinged up early. I think this is gonna be one of those seasons where, you know, especially even for fantasy, there's gonna be a lot of people that people don't even know who these guys are now. And at the end of the year, they're going to be winning guys titles because everyone else is going to be injured. So, I mean, this is going to be a crazy year, and I think depth and scouting and special teams guys are going to be the ones that are going to end up, you know, making noise because everyone else is going to end up getting injured.
Yeah, we're going to find out which teams are self-motivated, which teams do play the game to chase that ring. And I guess what Joe and I are telling you is that don't put any of your fantasy eggs in the Donovan and Hasselkrunk basket and expect great things. There it is. We did the damn thing. Thanks to Tim Teslone. It's good to know you're checking up on my work, sir. SC football all summer long. NFL all year long. And I'll definitely holler at y'all next week.